I want to read the text again, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, our Lord preached so that men could, at least in their heads, understand what he was saying. I wish today that the preachers and the theologians and the professors could learn to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ in the language of the people. It could be done. And not only could it be done, but it would be done if we had as our one goal the glory of Christ and the good of the people. Now you put that down. You say preaching is, the average preaching's over my head. It shouldn't be. I just can't understand what the preacher's talking about. I'm sure he does. I don't know whether he does or not. If you don't, I don't think he does. I'm sure he understands what he's saying, but he just can't get it across if he believed that he could. Person doesn't have any trouble making known their wants. If they're in pain, they say, I'm hurting. If they're hungry, they say, I need food. If they're thirsty, they say, I'm thirsty. Not too hard to communicate if you have a need, is it? And if people today in the pulpit, in the classroom, doesn't matter where they're handling God's word, if they had as their one goal, and this is where it's being missed, the glory of Christ, the glory of Christ, and the good of the people, they would be understood. I'm saying at least in their head, if not in their heart. Our Lord called himself the door. I am the door. You know what a door is, don't you? It's a very common thing. It's an entrance. It's a way of entrance. Our Lord called himself the water of life. Well, you know what water is. You know how important water is. You know at times how grateful you are for water. My, how it quenches the thirst. How when the body's just crying out for something to drink and you get a glass of cold water and goes into your mouth and down your throat, into your body. It feels so good. It refreshes. You know what water is? Christ said, I'm the water of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. You get hunger pangs and hunger desires and go to the table and your wife or mother has fixed a beautiful supper and you sit down and eat it. You know what food is? You know what bread is? He said, I'm the bread. He said, I'm the foundation. Anybody here who's ever built anything that has stood has first of all laid a foundation. The foundation determines the size of the building. It determines the width and the length. It also determines the height. The foundation's got to be able to support the structure if it's high enough. You know what a foundation is? Christ said, I'm the foundation. And he said, I am the shepherd. None of you have ever driven down the highway or saw a picture or a bunch of sheep out there in the pasture, and there was a man sitting under the tree watching them, caring for them, providing for them, guiding them, directing them, owning them. You know what a shepherd is. And then here in our text, he says, I am the way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way. What is a way? Common word. Just as common as door. Just as common as water, bread. Just as common as foundation, a shepherd. What is a way? Well, when we try to define the word, we get complicated. You know what a way is, but for the sake of definition, it simply means the chief means for attaining my goal. The chief means, for example, the way to honor is to do some great deed. Now, honor is the goal. Honor is the object. Great honor is what I want. I'm the subject. I'm the person who wants it. I'm the one who seeks it. The way The way is to do some great deed. The way for me to get honor is to do some great deed. It's the chief means for attaining my goal. The way to Lexington, Route 64. That way it's the way to Lexington, Route 64. All right, Lexington, that's my goal. That's my object. I'm the subject. I'm the one who wants to go to Lexington. I want to be in Lexington. That's my goal. I'm the subject. That's my goal. What's the way? Route 64. That's the way to Lexington. All right, the way to God. God is my goal, happiness, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, a right relationship with God, communion with God, fellowship. John said our fellowship is with the Father. I'm not interested in religion as such. I'm not interested in your laws as such. I'm not interested in your customs or traditions or your creeds or catechisms, really and truly. My object, my goal is to know Christ. To win Christ and be found in Him. That's my goal. Now, your goal may be to find the right church and the right ceremony and the right ordinances and the right theology and the right philosophy and the right prophecy. That's your business. My goal is God. I want to know God. And I hope that's your goal. And I hope you're the subject. You're the one who wants to know God. You're the one who wants to come to God. You're the one, I'm the one, who wants to have fellowship with God. I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want to know God, the living God, the true God, not a God, but the living God. Our Lord said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. The only true God. Now, the Baptists claim they have the only true God, and the Catholics, they have the only true God, and the Jews say they have the only true God, and the Mohammedans say they are the only true God, and the Confucius, and the Buddhists, and the Hindus, and all these different. You say, how do we know who has the true God? You're not seeking any man's God. The Hindu God, or the Muslim God, or the Christian God, or Billy Graham's God, or my God, or your God. Not our goal. Our goal is to know the living God, the God of the Bible. Is that your object? That's your goal? To know? That's what David said. As the heart panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Why do you look up, preacher? Because the scripture says, heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He's the God of creation. He's God in whom all live and move and have their being. He's the God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God who wrote this book. He's the God who created all things. He's the one, only true God. I want to know Him, all right? What's the way? Who is the way? Well, here it is. Christ said, I am the way. It's just that plain. He spoke so that men, as I say, in their heads at least, could understand what he was saying. I am the way to God. Now, I praise God. Let's begin here. I praise God. He was pleased to provide a way for sinners. He didn't have to. He was not obligated to provide a way, right? I do know this. He took not on himself the nature of angels. The angels fell, kept not their first estate, sinned against God, were cast out of heaven. He didn't provide a way for them. They are chained, Jude said, in everlasting chains, in darkness awaiting judgment. God provided a way. He wasn't obligated to. He took on himself willingly the seed of Abraham. We were not deserving of his mercy. Oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him? David said, who is David? What is my house? That you should show mercy to us. Now, if you're interested in solving all the mysteries of God and creation, I can't help you. I can't help you except to say that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you want to spend your time trying to find proof of the existence of God, proof to your natural senses, proof to your eyes, I can't help you, but I can only say the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you're If you're a student of prophecy who wishes to know the future and the program of God for this world, there's no human being can help you. But I'm telling you this, if you're a sinner, now listen to me, if you're a sinner, and they're hard to find, did you know that? Someone said a sinner is a sacred thing, the Holy Ghost hath made him so. Did you know that a sinner is hard to find? Now you can find some pretty good sinners and some fairly bad sinners and some not so bad sinners, and you can find some sinners who haven't broken all the laws and some sinners who have some faults, but to find a sinner is difficult. But if you are a sinner, you are a person who in Adam has been barred from God's paradise and because of your sins from God's presence. If you're a fallen creature, if you're a sinner who seeks mercy, like the publican in the temple, not like the Pharisee who stood and boasted he wasn't like other men and bragged about his attainments and accomplishments. If you're a sinner who's seeking mercy, if you're seeking forgiveness, if you're a sinner who comes before God's presence with a rope about your neck, guilty, casting yourself on the mercy of the court, seeking his grace, having no good thing, then I can plainly and dogmatically tell you that the way to God is Christ. The way to God for you is Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the way. Now, there are four things that I want us to look at. The first one is this. And I suppose we could begin and end this message on this one point. We don't need four points. Maybe just this one. Christ is God's way. Christ is God's way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's God's way. Colossians 1:19 says, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's where God put it. He didn't put it in the church. He didn't put it in the priesthood. He didn't put all fullness in the law. He didn't put it in the baptistry. He didn't put it in the sacraments. He put it in Christ. That's God's way. That's where God put it. That's what we're saying. He's God's way. He said, I am the way. Whose way? God's way. Not the Baptist way or the Methodist way. It's God's way. Christ is God's way. You see what I'm saying? In him. It pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Galatians 4:4-5 says this, in the fullness of time, in God's own time, in his due time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. God sent him forth. God sent him forth for the express purpose of redeeming his people. The angel of the Lord came to Mary and Joseph and said, Mary's going to have a son. Name him Jesus. Name this son Jesus. What is the word Jesus? It's the Old Testament word Joshua. What does it mean? God, my Savior. That's what it means. God, my Savior. Name him Jesus. Name him Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's God's way. And then in Isaiah 53:10, it says, it pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, God's never had any other way. Christ is God's way. He's God's way. Listen to me. And I'll say it as plainly as it can be said. I'll say it so that not necessarily that men might believe it, but that they might understand it. Christ is God's way from all eternity. For the Scripture says he is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. You see what I'm saying? I want that understood. That's as clearly as I can say it. Before God made this world, before God made Adam, before God gave Adam the law not to eat of the forbidden fruit, before Adam ever fell, before this world was ever plunged into darkness, death, and disease, and sin, God had a Savior. He's the surety of an eternal covenant. His blood is the blood of an eternal covenant. He was the Lamb slain before the world began. That's right. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world was ever laid. That's what Scripture says. God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation. From the beginning. All right? He's God's way not only from all eternity, but he's God's way, listen to me, for righteousness' sake. God is not only mercy, but he's righteous. Our God is not only good love. I hear somebody say, God's a God of love. That's not so. The Bible doesn't say God is a God of love. The Bible says God is love. God is love. He's the source of love. He's the essence of love. He's the beginning of love. He is love. There's no love except of God. God is love. God is light. You wouldn't have any light wasn't for God. God is life. You wouldn't have life without God. God is truth. You wouldn't have truth without God. God is love. You wouldn't have love without God. Where the God is not, love is not. There's no love in hell. God's not in hell. There's no light in hell. God's not in hell. That's right. There's nothing but eternal death in hell. God's not in hell. God is love. We need to... Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, you listen to people talk, and they're saying what they believe. They say God is a God of love because they do not know God who is love. And for righteousness' sake, Christ is God's way. God has to be righteous. God cannot pardon sin without a sacrifice, without suitable payment. God is righteous. God is just. Christ is God's way for justice's sake. Christ is God's way for mercy's sake. Now, for example, picture all of God's people in prison. They should be in prison. They are in prison. They're in bondage to the broken law, right? That's right. We're in prison. We're in chains. We have broken God's law. We are condemned. We're under condemnation. The Son of Man came not to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. We're in prison. We have broken God's law. We are spiritual criminals. We're guilty creatures. All right. Mercy stands on the outside. Love stands on the outside. God's attributes, mercy and love. Mercy says, let the sinner go free. Let the guilty go free. Open the gates. Open the prison. And let God's people out. God would show love. God would be merciful. Open the gate. But justice stands within and says, no, sir. No, sir, the gate cannot be opened. These people are guilty. These people are guilty. They cannot. Righteousness says they can't go free. God's law and God's justice and God's righteousness must be honored. They cannot go free. Mercy and love says, I want them. Justice says, I have them. Righteousness says, they're mine. Now, you can go out here and find a drunk on the steps of Skid Row somewhere, and he's dirty and filthy, and you might buy him for a quarter. That's right. You might buy his soul. You might buy him. You might buy his services. You might buy his hat, his shoes, anything he's got for a dollar. But let me tell you something. Suppose he kills a person. Suppose he murders someone. They take him down, put him in jail. You can't get him now if you had all the money in the world. No, sir. The law has a claim on him. The law, he belongs to the law now. He belongs to the state. He belongs to the law. You can't buy him. You say, I want that man to come plow my garden. No way. I'll give you $100,000 to let him out plow my garden. No way. I'll give you $1,000,000 to let him out to plow. No way. But that man's not worth a quarter. He is now. The law's got him. And the law's not going to turn loose of him till the law is what? Satisfied. Justice has got him. And justice is not going to turn him loose till justice is satisfied. And that's the way it is with you and me. Every transgression shall receive a just recompense of reward. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no pardon, no parole, no turning the sinner loose. So wait a minute. Christ comes. Christ comes down here in the flesh as a man. And he is imprisoned in our place. See, he who was sinless became sinful that the sinful might be sinless. He who was free was in bondage, in subjection, born under the law, tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he came down here and was imprisoned, and he went to the cross, and he died. He died on the hangman's gallows for us. He just took our place. Took the rope off my neck and put it on his and strung him up. He was identified with me. He was numbered with the transgressors. Well, you say, how can one person satisfy the justice and the righteousness and the law and the holiness of God for so many? Because of who he was. That's the key. It's who he is. He's God. You see, God can satisfy. Man could never satisfy the infinite holiness of God, the infinite righteousness of God. But Christ is infinite. And he, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's God's way. He's God's way. He came down here and opened the prison doors, not just by his will, but by the sacrifice of himself. Not just by saying, let the prisoner go free. You don't do it that way. You come down here and bear what the prisoner is supposed to bear and suffer what the prisoner is supposed to suffer and take what the prisoner is supposed to take, the justice and righteousness and holiness of God. That's why he died on that cross. That's why the Father turned his back. Christ went to hell. Hell, what is the essence of hell? It's not literal fire. The essence of hell is separation from God. And Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's hell. Depart from me. That's hell. He's God's way. Now notice, secondly, there's no other way. Listen to the scripture. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name Christian won't save you. The name Baptist won't save you. The name Catholic won't save you. The name Christ will. His is the only name. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. Turn to 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. We were reading this last night in the men's Bible study. 1 John 5:11. Listen to this. 1 John 5:11. Will you look at it yourself? Look at it for eternity's sake. Look at it for your soul's sake. And this is the record. This is it. That God hath given to us eternal life. And brother, eternal life just doesn't mean the length of it. It means the quality of it. Because everybody's going to live forever. That's right, everybody. But this eternal life is the life of God. It's divine life. God's given us eternal life, and this life, where is it? Where is it? Read it with me. Everybody in here together, out loud. Will you read it together? And this life is in his Son. That's where it is. Not in the church. It's in his Son. It's not in the elements at the table. It's not in the water of the pool. It's not in the law. It's not in Arminianism, Calvinism, Pelagianism, Antinomianism, Legalism, Methodism, or any other kind of ism. It's in him. That's where it is. That's where the life is. It's in him. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He was the way that Adam taught Abel. Did you know that? Adam taught Abel the way to God. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm looking and I see Abel comes to worship God. He comes to confess sin. He comes to seek God's favor. He comes to seek communion with God. He comes to the altar. And you know what he brought? He brought a lamb. And he shed the blood. His daddy told him that. Now his brother didn't do that. His brother was a rebel. He tried another way and God cut him off.
God cut him off. God will cut you off, too. I don't care who you are. You may be Abel's brother. You may be Adam's son. You may be the pastor's son. God will cut you off. You come some other way, God will cut you off. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except Christ. This is the way that Abraham taught Isaac. That's right. How do you know? Well, I'll tell you why I know. I'll tell you how I know. Abraham, you know, our Lord said, Abraham saw my day. He saw it and was glad, and he rejoiced. And you know how I know Abraham taught Isaac the way of the cross? It's because when God had told Abraham to take Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice him, they started up that mountain, and Isaac, young, strong boy that he was, Abraham, 110, 15 years of age, Abraham put the wood on Isaac's back, and the fire, the whatever they carried then with didn't have matches but fire on it, and they started up that mountain, and Isaac stopped him. He said, Father, here's the fire, and here's the wood. Where's the lamb? Where is the lamb? Oh, I want to ask that so much when I listen to preachers on television and radio. Fella, where's the lamb? There's your song service and your giveaway program and all of your promotion and there's all of your theology, but where's the lamb? Where's the substitute? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the blood? Where's the offering? Missing. Where's the lamb? And then the prophets knew no other way. Turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Look at this. The prophets knew no other way. Isaiah sure didn't. He said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Job sure didn't. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Look at Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. They knew no other way. The apostles knew no other way. You know what Peter said? We know we are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. They knew no other way. The redeemed in glory know no other way. Turn to Revelation 5, verse 9. Listen to them. All those people up there out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, under heaven. And verse 9 of Revelation 5, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests. You did it, Lord. We didn't do it. Mama didn't do it. And I'll tell you this, the Apostle Paul pronounces a curse on everybody who preaches any other way. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, what does he say? Let him be a curse. He's the only way. And then watch this, he's a sure way. Turn to John 6. He is a sure way. Preacher, my goal is God. The object of my search is communion with God. I want to know the living God. Well, Christ is the way. Can I be sure? All right, listen. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. I'll lose nothing. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foe. That soul, though all hail, should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. All that the Father gave to the Son, all for whom the Son endured, obeyed the righteousness of the law, all for whom the Son suffered and bled and died, all who trust Him and believe on Him and are brought by the Holy Spirit to love Him, and are brought into by the Spirit of God and the new birth and regeneration of vital living union with Christ, all shall be redeemed. Not a one shall be lost. That's what Christ is saying. No man ever sought mercy in Christ and failed to receive it. No man ever sought forgiveness in Christ and failed to receive it. No man ever sought heaven in Christ and failed to receive it. Our Lord's plenteous in mercy. Last of all, our Lord is God's way. He's the only way. He's the sure way. And he is the free way. Listen to the scripture. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come without money. He that hath no money, let him come. Buy wine and milk without price. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's free, isn't it? The gift of God is eternal life. That's free. It's a gift. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Do you need him? You need Christ? I do. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I need a righteousness. In my flesh I cannot please God. I need one of whom the Father can say, I'm well pleased. I'm under the law of God. I'm under the justice of God. I need someone who can satisfy it. Christ can. I need Christ. I need Christ. And he doesn't command you to produce a righteousness. He commands you to receive one already worked out. Receive it. He does not command you to understand everything in this book. He commands you to believe it. Ah, preacher, I just don't understand. I read the Bible and I'm so confused. Let me ask you this. When the law of God speaks against your thoughts and your deeds and your evil, are you confused? No, I understand that. I understand God said what God says, and I understand that I have fallen short of his glory. When God Almighty says that he's holy and he will in no wise clear the guilty, you know what he means? Yeah, I know what he means. I mean, when he said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I know what that means. Now, you're not confused about that, are you? No, I'm not confused about that. And when God says that he will bring every secret deed and every idle word and every transgression into judgment, are you confused? No, that's plain. That's about plain as it can be said. When God says that you're a sinner from the sole of your feet to the top of your head and you cannot please him nor satisfy him nor approach unto his presence because of your sins, are you confused? No, that's plain. When God Almighty says that you cannot by your deeds or your work gain acceptance with him. Is that clear? I'm not confused about that. I see that as plain as day. When God says that he loves sinners and delights to show mercy, and so he gave his son, he sent Christ down here as a man to do for men what they could not do. Is that clear? Yeah, that's pretty clear. When he says that his son went to the cross and shed his blood and died under the Father's wrath, under the Father's judgment, as a substitute for those that believe. Do you understand that? Yeah, I'm not confused at all about that. Do you understand that Christ Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. If you're hungry, come and eat. If you're weary, come and rest. If you're disturbed, come and find peace. Yeah, I understand that. Well, why don't you come? That's clear. You're not as confused as you thought you were. You're confused about some of the secret things that belong to God, but the revealed things belong to you. And I'll tell you this, if you walk in the light God gives you, he'll give you more light. They said, show us a sign. He said, no sign shall be given except his word. Now, you believe his word. You walk in the light God's given you. That's what you're subject to do. As a subject of the kingdom of Christ, you're required to walk in the light he's given you. Do what he commands you to do, that which you understand. Confess Christ, believe Christ, receive Christ. He'll open more light to you. He'll reveal more light to you. You'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Our Father in heaven, by the power of thy Spirit, for the glory of thy dear Son, give us a word in this day.
speak through thy servant. O Lord, we pray that we may be enabled of thy spirit to truly be an ambassador of Christ, that God may beseech men by us and through our words, that we may seek his glory and his praise and not our own, the true eternal good of the people. O Lord, not that we might boast of numbers and great monuments to our works and to our deeds, but that we might rejoice in him by whose power all things are accomplished. Speak through us and to our hearts and move according to thy will, and use this message to bring sinners to faith in Christ, to love Christ, and those who love him to love him more. In his name we pray. Amen.